So over the next few weeks, we're doing reflections on the death of the Lord Jesus. We're using the book of Galatians to do that. It's not original. It comes from a book, The Cross of Christ, John Stott. Galatians, quite detailed teaching. At times, quite complex doctrine and truth. And the issues that we see in Galatians chapter 3 is that of foolishness, of freedom, and faith. Foolishness, freedom, faith, gospel, or rather cross preaching, and cross substitution. Okay, those are the two big ideas. Hopefully it becomes clear as we go through this. So first of all, preaching. Verse 1, straight in. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He's put a spell on you. Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Yeah, so he begins, we started in chapter 1, but he says to them straight up, you're fools. Spiritually, you've lost your minds. You've lost your minds. Now, where does this come from? It comes from passion that Paul has for the believers, the people who he's brought to Christ, and also for God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. And verses 1 to 5, he asks some searching questions of them and therefore of us. The two main ones are this. In terms of becoming a believer, is it law observation or is it faith? Law observation or is it faith? Is it, I'm going to do this, and hope that God's going to be happy with me, or I'm going to trust what God has done in Jesus? And then carrying on from that, living the Christian life, is it going to be the Holy Spirit or human effort? Is it going to be God has saved me, I believe by faith, I'm okay, leave it to me, God, now, I've got this rest of the life to live, I'm going to try. Or is it, Father, through your Spirit, help me to live this life? Which one? Which is it going to be? That's what he's asking, and I think through the scriptures, he's asking us. My story, Holy Spirit, human effort, every single time. Yeah, my church I was brought up in, human effort, 100% of the time. Yes, there were mentions of faith. Yes, it was in their book. There should have been faith, but in reality, how they lived it out, it was human effort. We will do this, we will do this, and we will do this. Early 20s, salvation by grace discovered through faith. I'm liberated. I'm freed from human effort. Man, it was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. What did I do with that freedom? Same as the Galatians. I did exactly the same thing as the Galatians. That is, I was encouraged by the church, start by faith, and then as you live on, have a bit of faith, but also do some stuff, and that stuff will please God. And that's what I did for a while, for about a year, year and a half. And it was these very words, this very passage I read. You fool. You're a fool. What are you doing? Why are you in a church that on one side is preaching, you've got to be saved by faith, by grace. And at the same time, I'm trying to do this, 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 and this, and please God, get out of this place. I had to do a runner, spiritually speaking. Now, the good news is I think they're sort of changing. And now if you go down there, you'll probably get a little bit more grace. But I had to run from there. Happy ending? Not quite. Salvation by works is my DNA. From this time forward till the day I die, there'll always be salvation by works. I'll always have to fight it. And do you know what I know as well? Most of you are exactly the same. We will have to fight and remind ourselves again and again that salvation is by grace alone. We need help from the Lord. Let's think about the cross. Yeah, that's why we're here. Let's think about the cross especially. Verse 1. Before your very eyes, Galatians, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. So, who is Jesus? He is the Christ. He's the anointed one, the anointed king. Yeah, he's the dying king, the crucified king, the executed king. That's who he is. Now, we're told the Galatians heard this, and Paul says something. He says, you did more than hear this. It wasn't just that you heard it. He says, before your eyes, he was portrayed as crucified. Yeah? He was portrayed. He was presented. He was placarded. He was billboarded. Yeah? He was spotlighted before your very eyes. Except it weren't, was it? The Galatians weren't there when he died, when the Lord Jesus died, were they? It's about at least 10 years after the death of Christ that the gospel is preached to the Galatians. So what does this mean? It means that he spoke in such a way as to make the death of Christ vivid to the hearers. They felt as if they were there. So what do we learn from this? A couple of things. Our message. Number one, what's our message? Our message is Christ crucified. That is a main part of our message. Yes, there is the birth of the Lord. Yes, there will be the resurrection. But one of the main planks is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what you have to convey as a servant of the Lord. That is, you can say to people, Jesus loves you, and that is true, but he also died. Without the death of Christ, the love that we talk about makes little sense and makes little impact on most people. Yeah? Without the death. But with the death of Christ, allied with Jesus loves you, it becomes amazing, staggering, compelling. Absolutely compelling. And so the prayer is, Lord, give us the boldness, give us the strength to talk about Jesus' death. Yeah? There'll always be a reason not to talk about it. Give us the boldness and the strength. But because of what we've seen here in verse 1, we can't leave it there, can we? Because we need to pray for the boldness, the strength. We also need to pray for what John Stott would say, the imagination to proclaim Jesus. We need some imagination. What does he say? Before your very eyes. It was dramatic. It was vivid, as if they were there. Our prayer is that as we talk about Christ's death, we capture people's minds and hearts. The Holy Spirit takes it and makes it vivid as if you were even there. Is that possible? Could that happen? We have to believe it can. Yeah? But the thing is, you can't manufacture it. Yeah, you can't just build it up. It's not just down to human effort and ability. It has to be a work of the Spirit using whatever creativity we have. But we can do it with his strength. We can do it. We need it. We need it. We need his help. So that's something good for us to pray for, isn't it? For a Sunday morning, but also for our week. going ahead, that we would be vivid, and before people's eyes, Jesus would be as crucified. Because that is the if you want, the showstopper. Okay, so number one, preaching. Number two, substitution. Okay, this is moving from the foolishness to freedom. Foolishness to freedom via faith. So here's an equation for you. Okay, equation you can take away from today. Don't get too twitchy about equations. People get very twitchy. Think about their old maths lessons, get scared. Faith minus foolishness equals freedom. Faith, trust in the Lord, his death, minus the foolishness, wanting to do it by works, equals freedom. Real freedom, authentic freedom. It is marvelous. You see, the verdict of the establishment on Paul's teaching is simply this: sinner's charter. That's what his teaching is. It's a sinner's charter. It's a license to sin. Yeah, all this grace stuff. Yeah, you sin, you say, oh dear, I did something wrong. I know God's gracious. Here I am going back to him. Oh Lord, please forgive me for the death of Christ. Bang, there I go back again. Yeah, oh Lord, I sinned again. Carrying on like that. It's a sinner's charter. Paul's teaching, all this salvation by grace stuff, it comes from spiritual overthinking. This guy's too intelligent and he's gone beyond his thinking. He's got a sinful mind. In his heart, he wants to disobey. And he's got a fertile imagination. Yeah? And the imagination and the sinful heart and the overthinking have produced this whole salvation by grace. And Paul says, no. No, no, no. This is in our book. It's in our book, the Old Testament. So what he does is, like a lawyer, okay? Like a lawyer, like a barrister. He gets together the evidence and he takes it from the Old Testament and he gives them bang, 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 bang. Your own book says this. Our own book says this. So we'll look at a couple. Verse 6. Have a look at verse 6. Verse 6 is a quotation of Genesis 12. It says here, verse 6. It said, consider Abraham. He believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. How did semi-obedient Abraham, because that's what he was, semi-obedient, how did he get right with God? It is through belief. It is through trust. He trusted and God credited to him as righteousness. That was how he got it. And note this, pre-law, before the law ever turned up, that's the way it happened. He got right with God through faith. And so now, thousands of years after Abraham, in a totally different culture and setup, how do you and me, semi-obedient and disobedient people, get right with God? Same way. We trust God's promises. We trust the death of Christ. And Paul says, your book, that's where we find it. Verse 11, have a look at that. Verse 11, which we'll read earlier. Again, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, I think about 640 BC, over 600 years before the coming of Christ. And you've got this contrast of the sinful and the righteous. Yeah? How do righteous people live? We're told in verse 11. Have a look at that. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. By trust. Faith and trust in who God is, what he's promised, what he's done. Yeah? The teaching's there in history. You start with faith. So what do you, how do you continue? With faith. You don't start with faith and go back to works. No, that's the Galatian problem. That's the Andrew Gordon 1980s problem, an ongoing problem. No, you start with faith, you continue with faith. And Paul says, our book. Yeah, it's in our book. You're not looking at it carefully enough. Look at what it says. Verse 12, which is taken from Leviticus. It's God's law on behavior, including sexual behavior. What does he say there? Verse 12. He says, the law is not based on faith. The law's not about faith. The law is about doing. See? So the man who does these things will live by them. Yeah? You want to live by it? Do it. You want to do it? Live by it. That's what it's about. There's no faith involved. This is just what you have to do. You can do it without any faith at all. It's quite possible to do. Israel did it for hundreds of years. Intelligent, great people did it all the time. You don't have or need any faith to do it. And Paul says, our book. Our book. Your book. My book. Our book. Our history. What God said. Okay. There's a couple more curses here. Because it says in Leviticus, do what God says, otherwise you are cursed. You are damned by God himself. That's what it means. You will be damned by God himself. So let's look at two curses. And again, the Old Testament is the key. Verse 10. It is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So there's two curses. Two curses. Who is cursed? Verse 10, those who don't carry out the law. Yeah? And Paul says, it's not my thoughts. It's your book. It's our book. It says it. If you don't continue to do the law, you will be damned. Yeah? And that leaves us in deep trouble. Deep, deep trouble. Because who has perfectly done this law? Who's done it? Who's done it perfectly? Who's done it 100%? Who has 100% obeyed God? Take the two commands that God brings out of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Who's done that? You might have done it once or twice, a few times. Every time? 100% of the time? Perfectly? Who's done that? Who can do it today? You can't do the law today. I spoke to a friend. I told him you can't do the law today. Here's why. You've got to sacrifice. Unless you can sacrifice regularly, you can't do it anyway. It's gone. There's no temple. It can't be done. So we're in trouble because we can't do the law. Now, verse 13, who is cursed? Verse 13, it's the person who's hung on a tree. Okay, now capital punishment was big in the ancient world, big in Israel. Main way, from what I can see, they killed people was stoning. A horrible way to die. They literally throw stones at you, massive and boulders at you until you lose consciousness and you everything else. So I won't go into all those details. But there is another way that's put forward. Another way that's put forward is to be hung on a tree. To be put on a tree. And that was a sign that God was really displeased with you. That was a sign that God was very displeased with you. Because it was such a bad way of dying. Yeah, slow blood loss. Yeah, almost a sort of a torture. That was the way it was done. you're cursed. Ready for some good news? Ready for the good news? Verse 13. Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us in our place. He's done that. So here are the two curses coming together. Number one, my curse, my failure. Number two, God's justice, curse number two. And that's the reason why the Lord had to die in the way he died. That's the reason why it couldn't be stoning. Because if it was stoning the way the Lord was executed, you would lose the whole idea of the cursing. It has to be the person on the tree who is cursed. When the person who is on the tree dies, I sit up and take notice. I say that person must be cursed for what they've done. They must have been a particularly bad person before God. And God says, actually, no, the person who was bad was you. And I sent my son to take your place. The curse, if you're a believer, has been gloriously removed. You are redeemed if you're a follower of Jesus. You are freed if you're a follower of Jesus. You have spiritual freedom. You are liberated. You're liberated, 100%. And chapter 5 and 6 explains what you're going to do with your freedom. And it's not going to be license, okay? It's not going to be license. It's not going to be a spiritual free-for-all. It's not going to be a sinner's charter. It's going to be something more marvelous than that. Yeah? Because there is something greater than just endless self-indulgence. And the something is becoming more like Christ. So, freedom. There's only two sorts of people in the world. You know, there's multitude, billions of people, but there's only two sorts. Those who have spiritual freedom, or those who are yet to have spiritual freedom. That's all there is. Either you're free or you're not. If you're not, the good news is you can be. And around this hall is evidences of people who have been freed in Christ. Okay? We may not always be able to express that freedom as we should. We may sometimes have lapses when we slip back into slavery, but we are free. Loads of examples from that. Do you believe that Christ can free you? Do you believe that he can free you this morning, this day? If you believe, ask him. Ask him and keep asking him, and don't give up asking him until he gives you that freedom. Tell him that you believe that Christ has taken your curse and you want to apply that to your life. And if you are sincere, he will meet you and he will free you. And for those who have been freed, a few things. Number one, enjoy it. Enjoy your freedom. Rejoice in your freedom. You are different now. You are not the same. You are people now of joy that is not dependent on circumstances if you let the Spirit work on you. We're called to be people of joy. We're not called to be miserable, downbeat folk like everyone else. And in fact, our joy is going to become contagious. It's going to become contagious. As people see and say, I want some of the joy that those guys have. Yeah? So the curse has been taken. Enjoy it. The other thing is, serve. Serve. So verse 14 says this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Why has he freed these Galatian Jewish people? So that they will tell the Gentiles. World mission. That's why. That's why he's freed you. To serve him in world mission, that the whole world may enjoy freedom, spiritual freedom. Don't keep the freedom to yourself. Live out the freedom, share the freedom, enjoy the freedom, and pray that others will join you in the freedom from around the world. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, quite practically, say Donington, pray and give. Pray and give to World Mission. We support missionaries from three continents, loads of different countries. Find out about it. Find out about it. Sign up for it. Find out what God is doing in his world. Yeah, because you're a part of this now. We sometimes are blessed with missionaries who come through. Find out about them. Where they're from, why they're here, what they're doing. Yeah? And then the great thing is, go and speak. Go and speak. Because who are we? We have been placed in the most fascinating mission field in the world. One of the most fascinating mission fields. Because the nations have come to the UK. The nations have come to London. The nations have come to Brent. We're the number one place in London for diversity. They've come. And you've come. Is it an accident? Is it an accident that you're living, working, worshipping in this area? If it's an accident, then let's move on. But as far as I can see in the scriptures, God, this is use some bad English, God don't deal with no accidents. Deliberate. You're deliberately here to serve the gospel amongst the nations, as much as all those people who we serve. As much. Open your eyes to the possibilities. Open your eyes to the possibilities. Or as the first pastor of Donington said in the 1930s, may Donington be, was it, a wellspring of blessing to the nations. And if he could stand where I am now, his mind would be blown. Because he said it in 1930s London. Yeah, where the greatest foreigner was, I don't know, a few Scots and Welsh coming down across the borders to find work in London. It would have blown his mind to see what's going on here. Yeah? So, we have been freed. We're free to serve. And also, oh man, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it as a testimony to what God is going to do. Amen. To him be the glory.